Hi, my name's Sean Taylor. That's my friend Chris Ford down there, aka the Objective Geek of all the socials. And then our special guest, John, aka the Superman, the early movie Superman defender that we brought on just to stick up for the Lester cuts. And John, thanks for talking to us. Again, you provide a fantastic foil, an antithesis to all of Chris's feelings and vice versa. And it's great. And thanks for joining us today. How you feeling? You ready to get into Act 2 here of this?
I think this is going to be less sad for me and a little less, like, I think I'm going to enjoy this more than I did the first, the back.
Those bottom ones get a little hurtful.
Yeah, you got hit with something hard, second one out the gate. Your part's been fine, because that first one, all of us, Superman 3... And then hit you with Superman the movie.
I started sweating so much when he's like, there's an obvious answer. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, we have a couple that are good back and forth. And then, we have a couple that just derail everything. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we did the Batman, what, 2-3 years ago or whatever. So if whoever's watching this in the future, if you didn't see that one, watch that, because that was wild. We had completely different opinions on a lot of it. So.
Here's the thing to remember about that one, though, is I think that we did that one. I think we did that off the cuff. Like, we were talking about the Batman movie, reviewing it, and then all of a sudden Chris is like, all right, let's make our favorite Batmans. It's like, oh, crap. I have to think about this off the cuff. And so that one had, this one, I've had like weeks of time to develop thoughts and feelings that have changed over the weeks. Mm. But, John, you mentioned you wanted to open with, I think you had a this or that scenario. You wanted a cold open.
All right, so we... No, oh God, you guys are killing me. I know how you're going to go about this. Like, now, I was so excited, and then I realized what I just went through. Like, okay, you got to pick one, okay? Four movies. We've got Batman 89 to 97. We've got Superman 78 to 87. If you had to delete one, I'm assuming you guys are deleting Superman, but like, pound for pound, which four movies do you think...
I hate Batman and Robin so much. So much. I hate that movie. But I mean, my choice, I prefer Batman in general. But I hate Batman and Robin so much.
What am I comparing again?
So if you had to pick one, like, if pick the
one
four.
Set,
like,
one set of 89 movies.
To 97, or are you going 77?
Oh,
four movies together. From history.
Gotcha. Oh, I'm picking... Well, I'm a Batman fan. I'm picking Batman. Even, like, I like Batman 89. I don't love it as much as I used to when I was a kid, but I like it still. And Jack Nicholson is still iconic and stuff. Still really great, great things about the thing is that I can't really name a lot of bad stuff about the film. The film just doesn't reach a part in my soul as much as it used to. Batman Returns, I think it's a really wacky film.
We described it in our previous discussion as weirdly horny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe was our exact words.
And I like Forever enough, and I like Batman and Robin.
I never like Forever as much as I want to. Yeah. Like, in my head, I'm like, oh, Forever's fine. I like Val and Jim Carrey. And then I watch it, like, this movie takes forever. Which, pun intended, sorry, that joke was supposed to land better. But no, that movie is kind of a slog. But no, I'm a Batman guy. I'm sorry, John. I would still pick Batman.
Yeah. If Batman Forever was tightened up just a little bit, like, get rid of some of that, like, the stage swinging crap and a couple other stupid
extra
moments,
stuff.
There's a great movie in there. I can't wait to hopefully one day see it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, they need to release that red book. Like, it's already, well, I think they probably still need to, I think maybe they need like $10 million or something to touch it up. Right.
I think it's good because Kevin Smith has actually shown it, and like, so he was saying it's all done except for like music.
Okay, like, see, that would have my attention as a movie where with like a little extra elbow grease put into it. Probably talking about a movie that I consider not great right now, but I'd probably enjoy with a little polish.
I think pound for pound, I think Superman again, 78 through 87 is stronger, but I'd have to take Batman just because, like, Superman 3 is almost unwatchable, and, like, I can hate watch Batman and Robin. I can hate it, and enjoy the hate from it.
Yeah, we watched it. We watched it together and did a commentary on it.
Laugh through most of it. That's a movie where you need a friend to watch that with, because otherwise it's just sad. But if you watch that with somebody, it's a blast.
If there's like if I can at least have a beer and a little popcorn or something and not be in a room by myself, maybe there's room to appreciate the genius commentary of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Maybe in its own.
Real fast. Fun fact about Arnold. I'm just gonna spin off of that real quick before we get started. Arnold was championing being Superman in 78. Like, he was begging for the role and they wouldn't give it to him.
Shortest Superman ever.
What's crazy though is they wanted Burt Reynolds. They wanted Clint Eastwood, and then they wanted what's his name? Sean Connery. Oh, the dad from James Caan. Like, they wanted those guys to be Superman, and they didn't want Chris Reeves at all.
None of those guys gives me that vibe. None of those guys gives me the right vibe, though. Like, Reeve hits all the right notes. He's just that he looks like just America. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When they got Gene Hackman and Brando's, when they were like, okay, you can get whoever you want for Superman. But yeah. Oh, I remember also Kurt Russell is who they were eyeing to replace Superman in Superman 3 when Christopher Reeve did not want to come back. He was one of them anyway.
Was he Bill? Mm. Obviously, Arnold would have been short and the verbal barriers could have been interesting.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. When I say interesting, I mean that as a detriment. That's not a compliment, but that's a weird list. That's a strange.
This was 78 was the most expensive movie ever made at the time. He was not vetted as an actor yet for that kind of role. There's no way.
The Batman villains, other than I would argue Batman and Robin, the Batman villains are pretty well selected in my opinion. In that Batman set series, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, though. I'd probably pick Batman.
Yeah, me too. I think,
I mean, why would I ever watch Superman? Why would I ever watch Superman the movie again?
To the soundtrack, Chris. Come on.
I can put on the sound.
Just gonna pop on a vinyl of the Superman soundtrack and be like, "This is it, right here."
Yeah, that's where they. That's what they were using when Don watched it the first time. John's only like a little bit older than me.
It's a couple months.
I was born old, okay.
I was too, but like curmudgeon, get off my lawn, old. Not movies old, but. So today we're going to rank our top five, if I'm thinking about that right. Our top five is essentially 5 through 1. We'll snake again, and then we'll talk through some fun ancillary things, our, you know, ranking the Supermans, the Loises, the Luthors, etc. And we're at an odd number with 5. So I think that means, John, do you want to give us your number 5?
Yeah, it's Man of Steel. Chris talked about it last time about Hans Zimmer. The score is epic. And it feels, I'm not sure how the length of it, but it just feels like it encapsulates the whole scene. Like, when he's on the ship and when he escapes from the hole and he's like floating out in it, and like just the end battles and everything, like the score is amazing. It's shot well. It's beautiful. Again, it's like a comic book movie on the page. Like, it's just amazing. The only thing I'd say that is a little slow is like the end is a little long. I have no problem with Superman killing Zod. Who cares? Like, I don't know. Like, the fight scenes could have been toned down a little bit. I feel like they go a little bit too Dragon Ball Z.
I love it. I want so much in my heart for Zack Snyder to direct a Dragon Ball Z movie so bad. Like,
oh, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
It's still built for Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, like, hey, we're powering up for an hour. You crush it.
Like, it's so fit. Like, one thing, Zack Snyder loves filming very buff guys with their shirts off.
Especially if they sort of reference themselves a lot. There's, like, self-importance in all the characters. That feels like a good fit.
Yeah. He was... It will make a billion easily.
Yeah.
It might cost 200 mil more around to make.
Sure.
I think it'll make a billion.
I think they should have also loosened up on, like, Clark Kent and, well, mostly Superman. Like, it just, again, you go from, like, the Boy Scout, the happy, upbeat, and then, like, everything's sad, the weight of the world's on his shoulders. Like, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that it didn't resonate with people. And it just, I don't know, it kind of did Henry Cavill dirty a little bit. I don't know. The suit's good. I think it's the best in BVS, mm-hmm. or it's in Man of Steel. I feel the chemistry a little bit between him and Lois, but a little bit. I don't know. I just Lois just never gets nailed right. Well, that sounds bad.
Reese.
Only in the original Lester cut of number two when he was post powers did she get nailed right.
But yeah, I don't know. It's epic. It's awesome. It's almost a I would say it's probably a masterpiece. I love it. I mean, we'll go more into it because I was the first one to bring it up. Sadly, I know, but yeah, I love it.
So my number five, this is actually what I'll consider the last like meh movie for me. So not bad, still not watchable, but John, I'm not quite to that place of like from here on out is good movies. This is the last meh one, and it's Superman 25. And I said
it, Sean.
I said it before, Chris, I don't know what this movie is. It's so many things, and it's all at once, and it's messy, and it's frankly stupid a lot. But it's still, the reason it's at number five and not lower is because I did pick up a lot of joy in some of the underlying elements. Some of the comedy still hit with me. Some of the charm was there. I think the parts that resonated best to me were the like the Peacemaker universe, like the rated R, that level of movie are probably the parts that hit the best for me. I didn't need the ship drama, the campy stuff, the stupid robots. I hate them so much. They're so dumb. But
you always find this one little thing
because they're so ever present. He treats them like they're his friends. And their dialogue is crappy, and they look crappy.
Because he's Superman.
No,
Superman saves a squirrel. He treats everything like it's worth something.
Well, that's what makes this movie stupid. We're still in my top five here. Like I said, this is just to me. It's where this is still in the meh category, but it's still in my top five. I found the charm.
That you only like four movies.
I'm saying that I only like four Superman movies. That's actually a pretty fair way to put this. And Superman 2025 is not one of them.
Yeah, I only dislike two. Superman 3 and Superman 25. Terrible.
It's Chris, this movie is a lot of things, and good isn't one of them. That's my number five. Well, go ahead. All right.
Is it my turn?
Yep, you're five.
I said that. So
is it my turn yet? Chris, I will mute you. I have all the power.
I'll be your number one. Let's go.
My number five is Superman 2, The Donner Cut.
Okay. Okay.
Like I said before, for some reason, Donner Cut, it is like 90% the same movie, but for some reason it's so much better than the Lester cut. Like one of the things they bring, it has Brando in it as Jor-El. That just does so much more than Lor-El, his mother. Like carries so much weight. And I think on the bad side of it though, it does just like you feel that sacrifice when he has to say goodbye to Jor-El because he made a mistake. And so his mistake had cost to it, which I love that. I loved it at that moment. And then they just go back on it. So the ending was like,
yeah.
I'm not sure I would have had the ending. But for some reason, the movie in a general sense, I just really enjoyed it. I was like, oh my, like, so good. And then I love the Lois shooting him scene. It's so freaking good.
I thought
so
it was great. Good. I thought it was great.
Because it's like, it goes 2 points. Like, Lois shoots him. And he's like, I know at one point he should have been like, "What? There's no blank. There's nothing here." I would talk that up to him just continuing on this facade.
It's the charade.
He was stuck in the charade. And then Lois being like, it's a blank. And him being like, ugh. Like, it shows that what the lengths Lois would go to while also still being smart about it. Like, it's pitting Lois and Superman against each other in a more friendly, dynamic way. Lois being like, I know I'm not crazy, and I'm a freaking investigative reporter. Like, I know what I know my hunches.
Donner cut okay. Lois is pretty good, Lois.
Okay, defend Lois jumping out the building. Defend Lois jumping out of like 50 stories.
I love it. I think that's better than the laser branch thing. I'm sorry. I think it's better.
To me, it's way better than the Niagara Falls thing. Was like it was on the side of. For some reason, it felt more cartoony.
Can I tell a stupid story about why I think the Niagara Falls one is bad? It's a dumb story. But on my honeymoon, we went whitewater rafting. It was like higher level stuff too. And I'm not a high level. I'm not an extreme sport guy. But it's in Costa Rica. It's pretty. Like, I fell out of the raft and I floated like, probably a quarter mile before they could get to a place so they could get me. I was just like floating in dangerous rapids, right? I was like, I survived that. I'm not worried about Lois. Anything could have saved her. But jumping out of a building? John, jumping out of a building? Only Superman.
He lived and then didn't even, like, think that Superman saved her. No. This is not Batman Returns, where we've already established stupid. He's falling out and can't bring us back to life through Egyptian magic. No. Like, no.
No, yeah. I can defend the bullet scene. You made a good point that I didn't think about of like in the previous film, you know, Clark gets shot and he knows how to feel it and catch it and play act it. But like here in the heat of that moment with the gun, I just have an easy time writing it up to like, he's so focused on Lois and he's Superman. He just assumes he didn't feel that bullet. You know what I mean?
He's keeping up with the Flash and like the Zack Snyder stuff, right? Like when the Flash is coming around and like, he can catch him like
it's important to note different. That these are different Supermans with different power scale.
He caught the bullet in the previous movie. So like, it's not like it is that he has that speed and that capability to see the bullet probably moving in slow-mo. Like it's just, okay.
But he's so focused on Lois. He's so nervous right now that Lois has him.
Let's go back then to defending him sleeping with Lois. Without taking his powers away.
It's always about sex with you, isn't it, John?
Let's get back to that. What
did
you say about it? The laser what?
I'm fully on board with that part being dumb. Fully on board with it.
I didn't even notice that it was flip-flopped, but I'm absolutely agreeing that that whole sequence is the crappiest part of both twos. That whole sequence. Yeah.
But for some reason, Donner makes it work better.
I see Donner's vision better. I get it.
Like, and I don't even mind the scenes where I can see the strings, right? Like, but I don't pull at them. I'm like, I see them, but I'll just let them. I will turn that off my brain because there's one that shooting scene takes place in like a room that is clearly not. Like that was like I think that shooting scene was technically like a test shot.
It was. Yeah.
And so even his hair is like different from scene to scene.
It's so much different.
I'm fine. I'll just go with it.
That's clearly post like Reeve losing hair.
I think it had already started. Yeah. Yep.
But.
Alopecia, but let's not talk about that because people be getting slapped around the place.
I'm saying all this stuff and it's an upsetting John, but John, remember that's my number 8 and just like I say all that mean stuff about Superman 2025, but Chris, remember that's my 5. So I feel like I'm stirring the pot and I don't have a valid ranking to back it up. Chris, does that put us at your number 4?
My number 4. It's funny because this one we didn't. My number 4 is BVS. It is Batman versus Superman, and it's really interesting because it's funny. This is a movie that we didn't split up the director's, the extended cut versus the other cut. I don't think they're that much different. And honestly, I might be the...
There is no theatrical cut. Ultimate only. Don't watch it any other way. Theatrical does not exist. Look at this vein. Look at this vein. It does not exist.
Me and John are so freaking different sometimes.
I did watch the Ultimate Cut, just for the record. I only watched the Ultimate Cut, not really for a reason other than that, I don't know, somebody, maybe it was John, said it was better at some point.
I don't like the Ultimate Cut.
What even is the difference? What was the differences? I didn't notice.
This is the difference. It's 30 minutes longer and it's slightly more bloody. That is okay. The main difference.
It fleshes out Lex Luthor's plans a little bit more. It allows things to breathe a little bit better. Like, it just, you get a better overall picture because there's a lot of moving parts. It's overly complicated, but it brings you along with it.
To me, I got the story. Got the story just fine. I understood. I didn't need any other further explanation. I understand why all this stuff was cut out. You added 30 minutes to an already long movie. Like, honestly, to me, it didn't add much to it. It just made the movie longer. My complaint about the movie at 2 hours and 30 minutes is that it's too long. And then it added 30 minutes to it. Also, Batman is near and dear to my heart, as you can see everything. And Batman in this movie, I think it's really bad writing with Batman. And I don't say that just in the sense of because he kills and stuff. I'm not going to hold the movie to that standard of calling it bad writing, because I don't like my Batman to kill so indiscriminately the way that he does in BVS. I get Batman has killed in various movies. The only movie he doesn't kill in is in The Batman. He kills in Batman Begins. He kills in Batman Begins in the sense of, like, Ra's al Ghul, like, I don't have to kill you, I'm not going to save you either, which that's a moral gray area. Other than that, to me, he doesn't really kill. He killed Harvey Dent. To me, there's contests around killing some areas. Keaton Batman killed a few times, but there were just a few times. He put the bomb in the guy's pants and put him down a drain hole.
That's funny.
He used the Batmobile to just
incinerate that bomb guy.
And then he turned the Batmobile around, incinerated that guy. Those I didn't like, but those are like three. Batman and Batman v Superman is just like, I'm killing everybody. He doesn't give a crap. He's just killing them all. And again, I say this to say that me personally, subjectively, I don't like that. That's not my Batman. Objectively, I think it's bad writing, not because he's killing people, but because his whole thing is like, I gotta kill Superman. He's not a human. Part of that line is like, he's not a human, he's a threat, I can kill him because of that. He doesn't see him as a human. Who cares? You've already killed dozens, hundreds of humans. Like, it would have been better writing if he had a no-kill rule, and he held himself to that, didn't kill anybody. But he's like, I'm going to kill Superman, because Superman is not a human, I can kill him. And then in the movie, of course, he says Martha and stuff, and he realizes, like, oh, he is more human than I thought he was. Like, we share something. That would have been better writing than him just indiscriminately killing people.
I can get on board with that.
But again, there's a ton of context that goes with that, right? He's been through Harvey Dent. He's lost Robin, right? Like, he's been through all of this stuff. Like, he has a line when he's talking to Alfred. He's like, 20 years in Gotham, Alfred. How many heroes are left? How many stayed that way? Like, he has only seen time and time again corruption, loss, pain. He cannot risk Superman becoming evil. I completely understand at that level of losing your mind, at that level of insanity in his own mind, I can see how he got there.
No, I get how he came to the conclusion of, I got to kill Superman. But they made it seem like him killing Superman was a big deal. Like, him crossing that line. Also, one thing that I hate.
Superhero, that's why it is. That's why it's palatable.
Also, one thing that I hate in the movie is Clark Kent. The one thing they added to the Ultimate Cut is like Clark Kent investigating Batman and stuff, being like, "Oh, he's brandishing people now." Like, who cares if you're brandishing people? You're killing people. Brandishing, that's nothing. Also, I don't care about this sex trafficker guy and his wife, who's like, Clark Kent goes up to his wife. I'm like, why are you trying to make me think about this sex trafficker guy? I don't care. Or this human, he might have been sex trafficker. He was a human trafficker. And again, but the whole like, Batman's brandishing people. Huh?
He said that was a death sentence, though. If they get that, they get killed in jail. So if you don't care about that guy who was convicted and whatnot, right, or handed over by Batman, then what's the difference between Batman chasing down guys that are stealing stuff, going to hurt somebody, and killing them there? There's no difference.
No, I don't care about Clark Kent trying to make me care about that character.
Fair enough.
He put a brandish on him. And to me, everyone's in there because of Batman. Like, Batman has put so many people in there. Who cares if he's brandishes? Like, all of you have teeth knocked out by Batman. It's that part was so freaking weak to me.
I think you needed it to give Superman a little bit of reason to want to fight Batman, as Batman's the bad guy and he needs to stop him.
It's humanizing in like a silly petty way, right? Like in a Facebook politics way, it's sort of a hypocritical and petty.
If Batman never kills, and now he's starting to cross a line of brandishing people and more torture or whatever, then that would make more sense that he's investigating. Like, Superman seems to be investigating just Batman brandishing people, and it's like, well, Batman has killed a bunch of people, like, why? That's not brought up, but they're focused on this brandishing thing,
right? Because he's killing bad people.
But he's focused on the brandishing thing. That guy was bad. Batman's brandishing people now. Oh, he's real angry now. He's been killing people. And also the first half of the movie. To me, the movie doesn't really pick up until the Batman versus Superman fight. Yeah. And then that's like the last third of the movie. Like, there's no action in the movie. And the thing is, I make it sound like I don't like the movie. It's just I don't like it as much as I did before. Every watching of it kind of gets a little bit lower. And the other thing I'm talking about a lot of stuff I don't like. But Superman dying carried little weight to me, because they should have, if I was to rewrite that movie, I would show a scene in the first half that showed Superman maybe saving an airplane crash or saving a runaway train or something, and then crowds of people adore him and stuff. Not like the whole, like, oh, holy spiritual, praising him type of stuff, but like joyously liking Superman. That way, at the end of the movie, where he's dead, people can really feel like they lost something. But because they only painted him as like this mythological figure, either to be like worshipped at the end of the movie, I didn't feel like people lost something. And so, right. Things I did like about the movie: great action, Wonder Woman is great. Mm-hmm. Love freaking she's for some. Well, I give a Oh my gosh.
Amy Adams?
Why am I blanking on her name?
Gal?
Not Amy Adams. Gal Gadot. She's the greatest Wonder Woman.
Perfect pick.
Terrific. Back to the negative. Doomsday could have been better. Like, Zack Snyder does a great job, usually, at bringing stuff to life, and for some reason, Doomsday just didn't. Like, he just didn't nail it with Doomsday.
He just made Zod Bizarro.
Yeah. Doomsday felt a little too... Chris, I'm going to just cut in here that 4 is my... BVS is my number 4 as well. Doomsday, it felt just like a little bit too afterthought-y, almost, I guess, was my qualm with Doomsday. Yeah. Also, you know what? Chris, I basically agree with everything you said about BVS, the good, the bad. It's in my top 4. I enjoy it more than I thought I would from like recent memory, and probably closer to where like seeing it in theaters and leaving the theater, probably to that level. Like, I kind of have a roller coaster with this one, but I enjoyed it more than I thought. And I agree with almost every single thing you said, with the one exception of you, as we mentioned earlier, you seem to prefer a good origin story. I like, I like getting a grumpy Batman vibe, man. I like 20 years in, kind of fed up with people's crap Batman, and I think that lends itself well to this story, even though what you said would still be true of, like, if this was the straw that broke the camel's back, that Batman's like, nope, I got to kill this guy, right? That would make that much more impact, even though that's true. I do like grumpy Ben Affleck Batman. So BVS, my 4, and I didn't expect it to be. It was a pleasant surprise. I did watch the Ultimate Cut. I have no idea what the differences are because I haven't seen the previous cut in a long time.
And I had a lot of negative there, but maybe I'm just negative because my most recent rewatch of the Ultimate, my most recent watch included the Ultimate Cut, and it just struck me wronger than it should have, probably. So the original cut, I would watch that again and just watch that. Never watch Ultimate Cut again in my life. But I like so much stuff in the movie, despite the things I don't like.
And it is a long, it's already a long movie. The Ultimate Cut is a long movie.
Oh, warehouse fight scene.
Perfect.
Fantastic. Yep.
Yes, I won't hear an argument for a better Batman fight scene. There has not been.
Him versus Bane to me is a better fight scene because it carries way more theatrical weight.
Okay.
We're talking choreography? Sure. I'll give you choreography. If I'm talking about theatrical weight to it, Bane with his one-liners, like,
oh, you think darkness is your ally?
Like, oh my gosh, so great.
You mean Bane is eye-level with my Batman? No. No.
Bane versus Batman, to me, it's... I love the Martha Rescue scene. It's great. It's, like I said, the choreography, it was like watching the Arkham games. Mm-hmm. Like, the moves he were doing were straight out of those games. Like I said, best Batman fight choreography ever. To me, I think this scene gets overhyped. People are like, oh, this is one of the best Batman moments. And I'm like,
Batman. You think it gets overhyped? I feel Batman. Like people still kind of crap on this one too much.
No, I mean that specific scene.
Just the scene itself. Okay.
Yeah.
There is a scene when he grabs the box with the bat gun or whatever, and like he throws it, and it kind of feels a little rubbery and wrong weight physics wise. That bugs me, but other than that, oh my god, that scene's so good.
Mm. It's a great scene. Great scene.
Best ever. I don't even care. Best bat suit. Yeah,
John.
I'm sure we.
John, is this like, your number 14 just by chance?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Well, we don't have to cut that. I just was curious if we all had a match. What a random match that would have been, too.
Well, actually, let me just speed through real quick because we've talked about this movie ad nauseum. So that would be my number 4. Would be Superman Dos Lester Cut. Now. We've talked about it. I think it's better just because it flows, because that's how it was put together. I think sleeping with Lois is stupid with your powers. Why would you get rid of him? I think falling out the building is stupid. The gun is stupider. Like, it just, there's just so many stupider moments. Like the scene where the guy falls over in the phone booth and he's still talking. That's extra dumb, and that's in this cut. But overall, it's just better when it comes off of the movie 78, which it has to. It's Superman 2. Like, and everything matters more because it all stays consistent throughout the movie, where at the end of Donner, it just gets erased and nothing matters. Like he still has those experiences, but nothing changed. Like, it still goes back. He still gets the crystal again. Nothing really happens. So it's just kind of a waste. I mean, and it doesn't carry the same weight as The Flash, where it's like, again, as somebody that's lost a parent, when you see him say goodbye to his mother and he would give anything, including he has to, like, he dies himself, like, that lands in The Flash. Spoilers. Sorry. But, like, it doesn't land in the Donner cut. So, it's Superman 2. It's just better. Like, there's dumb stuff in it. It should have been better. I don't even know, to be honest with you. I would have loved to see what the true version would have been, but no. My number 4 is Superman 2, theatrical.
Surprise.
One thing we haven't mentioned yet between the Donner cut and Superman 2 is General Zod. Like, he was great. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that. Terrence Stamp. Yeah, RP. I would say this. The Donner cut, to me, handles those final scenes much better. Like, because to me, like, the Superman 2 goes, like, fight scene in Metropolis, then they go to the Fortress Hall to have more fight scene, and then the whole, you know, throwing the emblem and weird clone powers and stuff. Yeah, well, I think
only because he's in the Fortress of Solitude and with like AI and stuff like that, I'll buy some of that dumb stuff.
Okay, yeah, that contextualizes a little more. But I think the Donner could handles that better. One thing, just by cutting it out, and it kind of goes straight to the, and they go straight to the like the you know, taking away the powers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, real quick, and let me just jump off that because we were right there. My number three is Batman v Superman Ultimate Cut. The only way to watch the movie. I want to talk about something that you guys didn't touch. I kept my mouth shut thinking you guys couldn't. There's no way you wouldn't talk about it. It's amazing you didn't talk about it. If I would have lost good money on this, like no parlay, nothing, I'd have lost money. Dude, you guys didn't once say anything about Jesse Eisenberg's take on Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm getting there.
That's why. But you did yours. Right? You both went through it, and you didn't touch it. Like, that's crazy. Like, I love that.
That's
the scene when he's up on the roof cross-legged, and Superman, he's like, now God kneels before me, right? Like, he's got the pictures of Martha, and he's got the clock, and I love that monologue and that villainous. I love Jesse Eisenberg in this movie. I think he's great.
I think that this Luthor is written, that's very important, is written the best Luthor of maybe any of these movies. I hate Jesse Eisenberg being the guy putting it into reality. I think the dialogue and the way it's written is great. I don't buy Eisenberg as a guy. I think he's trying really hard to make it quirky and Joker-like, and I hate it. But I think it's well written. I think it's an engaging villain construction.
I think half the time he's great. And I'm like, he's doing some great acting. He is. Like, especially those times you talked about, those scenes you talked about, John, of like now God bends to me. That's one thing. That's a great line.
But that's great writing. I mean, not that he can't also deliver it. Not that he can't deliver it great, but that's great writing.
Well, his music too. Like when he's walking through the halls and coming out the helicopter, he's got a great he's got great music. Oh, so good.
He does.
But again, that's not like Jesse Eisenberg writing that music.
I just think it all fits. I think it fits in the
that's
universe.
My point, though. It's a good Luthor, other than the actual actor portrayal part.
I do think he does a great job in some of the scenes, and there's other scenes I'm like, I blame Zach.
Okay.
Like, Zack Snyder should have been like, no, I don't like that.
Can you
let's
chill
play it this
on
way.
That one just a little bit?
Like,
it's cherry. Like,
some of it was too, the Jolly Rancher scene. Why is that in there? Just cut it.
Yep.
Like, give me the cut without that in it. It'll increase the movie by half a point. And there's other like comical scenes. But I am convinced he would have made a better Riddler than a Lex Luthor.
I can get on board with that.
But again, the cherry on top, the thing that always puts it in a nice little bow and makes me so happy, is that this is not Lex Luthor. This is Lex Luthor Jr. Mm-hmm. This is a man that was tortured, tormented by the Lex Luthor we want to see. So we're getting a byproduct of that childhood, nature versus nurture. So we're getting his own character. And so in his own character, I just love what we got. And then I would have loved to see what the true Lex Luthor would have been. I don't know. I just love seeing the byproduct of that evil character, I guess.
I love the
construction. I mean, to me,
that's what made it maybe a better film than I remembered, was like the construction of him as a villain in this film, and his motives and his means. Is like, finally we've got a Luthor that feels really good and fleshed out and how I would maybe expect it to feel. I don't like Jesse's portrayal. Chris, I want to give my I want to give my three last and my two first. So would you give your three right now?
Sure. My three is Zack Snyder's Justice League. It is one of these most overindulgent movies. It absolutely is. And when, for some reason, it works in this film. Also, there is, you know, this movie is like 4 hours long. There is, I am positive, a 3-hour cut of this movie that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a 3-hour cut of this movie, and I would watch it so many times. Zack Snyder did such a great job. One thing, he's visually one of the best directors ever. A couple call-outs. One, Cyborg. What the heck was Josh Whedon doing? He cut out all of that. Like, Cyborg is so good in this movie. And I told Sean about this, that like Cyborg,
what Josh
like, so Cyborg started off in the comic books part of the Teen Titans in like the 1970s, and then it wasn't until 2011 that they rebooted the universe with the New 52. That's when I started reading comic books. He was a founding member of the Justice League in this universe. And even in those stories, fans and myself included felt like Cyborg belonged here. Like, it doesn't feel like he is up to the level of the Justice League. Like, he wasn't even written kind of to that level. Like, he felt like it was he just felt like, all right, just bring in, you know, the other more so founding members of the Justice League. But Zack Snyder's Justice League made me feel like, oh, this is some of the best Cyborg stuff ever. One, that you get a sense of his power, that he has control over everything electronic in the world. He can do whatever he wants. And that scene where he's playing the recording, his father and stuff, and he goes through and he checks bank accounts and stuff. He puts money in that woman's bank account. So freaking good. Like, Cyborg is so good in this movie. It's a crime what Josh Whedon did. What else was so great? Oh my gosh. I am not part of the Restore Snyderverse crowd. Let it die.
Yeah, let's like move on. Turn the page in general.
We haven't even talked about Superman 25 in your list yet, which is insane.
That's ridiculous, Chris. It's ridiculous.
Let the Snyderverse die. But Darkseid looks so freaking cool. Like, Darkseid. Ah, man. And then, the fight of the flashback fight. And I don't know if Joss Whedon had this in his movie. I think he did. But it wasn't, I think he did, but it just wasn't as good. Of, like, the old gods. So you had Zeus, Ares, a Green Lantern from somewhere. You had the Atlanteans, the first king of Atlantis, all fighting Darkseid's forces and the parademons. That scene is freaking great and epic. Loved it. So Zack Snyder really did his thing with that movie. When I watched the movie, I just kind of stop it. I just stop it after Martian Manhunter talks to Batman. Which, one side note, I would just take out Martian Manhunter. All that stuff is stupid to me. When he disguises himself as Martha Kent,
it's unnecessary.
When it's like, it's like, oh, he was the general the whole time. Well, why didn't you help out? Like.
Green Lantern was supposed to be that character that came in at the end.
Yeah. I just wouldn't have done it. But I end the movie at Martian Manhunter talking to Bruce Wayne. Because then it goes into the nightmare scene. And I think that's so freaking dumb. I just think it's
You don't think it dumb. Chris. I think dumb.
I think Batman being like, and I promise Joker, I swear to God, I'm gonna kill you. And like, why are you doing this to Batman? Like, just stop. Again, I am more so a Batman purist. And also just that universe, and that Joker didn't do anything for me. It was just, anyway, I love the movie. I just don't watch that. Like I said, better than what?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just say no to both? Can I just say nee?
No, I think the first Joker movie, I think it's great. I think the first Joker, I would also say, though, that I don't consider that Joker.
Like, it's not. That's why I reviewed it back in the day. That's why I said it's not Joker. 66 Batman would wipe the floor with this Joker. Like, it was to put asses in seats. It stole from better movies in the past. It was a joke.
I mean, all movies do.
Have you seen Joker? It confirms everything I hated about the movie, which makes me love Joker too. But it's not a good movie. But
there are parts of Joker. The stuff I like about Joker 2 is that, I'm starting to forget what I liked about it. it holds him accountable. That's what I like about it. Like that court scene, those court scenes and stuff, I love. Most of the movie felt like, what are we doing here? But yeah, I mean, you're right. The writer went to WB, was like, I got this movie. They're like, why don't you just make him Joker? He was like, okay. Yeah. I'll make him Joker. And they made $1 billion. So,
yeah, but the second one pooped the bed. But yeah,
I mean, average out, still lots of profit.
My number.
All right, that's my number three.
So my number three is Justice League Snyder Cut. Everything Chris said, Chris, the best thing you said in my opinion that sums it up is there's a 3-hour movie, a 3-hour version, that is like an A movie, like a 9.3 out of 10 movie at 3 hours in here somewhere. It's in there. Ditto to what you said. I'll kind of go into just a whole lot of extra detail.
I wonder if I can guess the remaining ones, because I have this spreadsheet open and I see which ones haven't been selected. But never mind, I'll just let you keep going.
Well, that's
in my head. I'll keep it in my head.
I wanted to do my number two first, just because it's probably the oddball here, and it's, I thought Superman Returns was great. Take this in the vacuum. Take this in the vacuum of disconnected from the other surrounding movies. I don't give Superman 1 or 2 any like more credit or discredit for being related to each other. Right, just each movie is in its own vacuum, and that's important to me. And if I look back at this list and I ask myself which movies I would just enjoy sitting down and just watching that movie, and Superman Returns is my number two. I had a lot of fun. Kevin Spacey was like the actor that my brain wants Lex Luthor to be. Generally liked the plot. Chris, I've accepted that Superman is anatomically similar enough to humans that he can have sex with Lois Lane and have a baby. I'm fine with that.
Yep. Yes, two heads.
Why not? So I wouldn't say it's my favorite plot point, but it didn't bug me at all. I'm not a ships guy, but I thought this played the ships card well. Like, yeah, Superman disappeared for 5 years. Lois Lane would move on and she'd find somebody else. And that guy was pretty nice. She'd find another decent dude. In a nutshell, if you asked me today, hey, Sean, which Superman movie is you going to watch? There'd be two answers, and this is my number two, Superman Returns.
That's crazy. Our movies are crazy. Yeah. That's wild. Who's the list out there? We ever have Superman Returns as number two? Like,
but don't look at it as the black sheep, because that instantly means you're comparing it to like you have like these preconceived expectations. Like, no, just by itself, just put it on the telly.
All this is built on an IP, right? Like you have Superman 1, it builds to Superman 2. You have Man of Steel to Batman vs. Superman. It's an IP. It does build on each other. Now, Diminishing Returns, try my patience, but like it doesn't build on a whole lot. It doesn't really connect to Donner. It doesn't go forward. It's just like stuck in this thing. There's not really a phenomenal fight scene. Like, I don't know. I respect it. I'm happy for it, but
it just didn't bother me. Even the fight scenes, it really isn't great fight scenes, but there's good action. It's not fight. It's not traditionally throwing punches, but there's good action in here that I dig. It just doesn't bug me that it's out of place, because just as its own flick, it's a pretty good flick.
I heard something similar to this where like somebody was talking about Star Trek, and they were talking about how most people hate Star Trek 1, the motion picture, and love The Wrath of Khan. It's interesting that I heard somebody was like a diehard Star Trek fan, and he was talking about how he loves the first movie because it's more in the spirit, the soul of Star Trek, like that exploring and like building and like characters. Like, so I was like, in that light, I really respected it, but God dang, that movie's terrible. But anyway.
But the spirit's underneath there. I know I threw off the order with my number two, so whichever you feels like making the splash with your number two.
I can't do this, man. Like, you haven't said 25. Like, it's hurt. Chris,
go next so you can say 25 already. Oh, my God. It's killing. It's not
number one. It can't be.
It's not.
My number two is Man.
Shut up.
Superman 2025.
I knew okay. that Chris would never, ever replace Man of Steel at the top.
That's why.
I knew he wouldn't.
God.
Number two, Superman 2025. I'll go through and explain. But in general, this is the most Superman movie. Like, this is the Superman that I've watched, and this is to me, this is the absolute closest thing I've ever watched compared to Superman I read in comic books, Superman I've watched on Superman the Animated Series, Superman from the Justice League, Superman in the various animated movies I've watched. It is the closest thing to me. This is quintessential Superman. Whether it's the, like, this is how it is reading a Superman comic book. It's crazy. Like, it's outlandish things happen. Fighting a kaiju happens. This world is full of different things. It's the whole, you know, universe. It is the most comic act. It is probably the most comic accurate movie I've ever seen. And again, I've said that before, for better or worse. If you're a comic book person, which a lot of people are, I probably agree with you, like, yeah, this movie is so freaking comic booky. And I freaking love it. It's unabashedly comic movie. Like, we spent so many years where people are like, oh, well, it's based off of comic books. We don't want to do a one-for-one translation. We want to put them in black leather stuff. Or no, we can't add that. That's goofy. Like, no, Krypto is part of the Superman lore. Like, that is part of Superman's story. Superman robots, that's part of Superman's story. Him having friends with superpowers and stuff, that is the Superman story. Like, it gets Superman so right. Like, where, and on so many different levels, on strength, on power, on action, it gets right. So that's stuff that Reeves was missing. It gets the emotion. It gets what Superman really is underneath. And that's what, like, Henry Cavill stuff was missed for, I don't want to say that in a general sense, cause I think people overstay that, like, he was missing stuff, but he was missing some of it. There's a certain joy in the Superman and smile. When he saves people, he's just not saving them out of nowhere and then dropping them off. He's sitting with them for a while saying, hey, breathe, you're good, and stuff. Like, all right. Like, he cares about people. I told this to Sean before, like, Superman's weakness to me isn't kryptonite. It's not being able to save everyone. Not being able, even when he's in powers and stuff, whatever, like, he cries. Superman loves humanity. He loves people. Like, when Superman has him captured when Lex Luthor has him captured and he kills that street vendor, like, Superman is weeping. He's like, he had a name. Like, his name, I don't remember his name, but like his name was so-and-so. I was about to try to come up with a name, but it might have sounded offensive. His name was so-and-so. Like, he had a name. And even at the end of the movie, like, when they're reading the Daily Planet, the front page paper or the back of the page paper is like, local hero dies, written by Clark Kent. He's talking about that vendor. Like, Superman cares so hard. And then I'll continue to talk about the great things about this movie. The end there, to me, the best part of this movie is when him and Letts are arguing. After all the action and stuff is done, and he's like, no, Letts, that's what you get it wrong about me. Like, I go through all these things. I worry about myself. I don't know what I'm doing. But every day I try and be the best person I can, and that's what makes me human. And the better part is that, and Letts, for the sake of the world, I hope you realize it's the best, it could be the best part of you too. That is so Superman. Superman, just like Batman in a sense, he's not just for saving the day. He's for making a better tomorrow. He sees the best in people. He sees, Letts, you can be better than what you are. I know you can, and I still don't like you kill people. You're a terrible human being, but I'm still going to try and strive and see the best in you and see the best in humanity.
That's a really
chef's kiss.
Yeah,
it's the best rendition of Super. If I want to get a sense of I want to watch Superman, I turn that on.
It's a really nice speech, Chris. But man, that comic book rightness to people who don't like comics is
good.
Hard.
Good. I'm glad
to keep up.
We've been making too many movies for non-believers. This movie's for us.
This movie was made for the TikTok generation that couldn't sit still for 3 seconds without something happening. Like this movie, mm-hmm. The TikTok generation movie. Like, I'm sorry, but it just. Yeah, it didn't have time to establish anything. The only person that gets any
character... Well, Superman 1 was made for geezers and need something to fall asleep to.
I'd rather fall asleep to a good movie than have to pain suffering. Like, my eyes stapled to my forehead just to, like, my eyelids, like, to watch this again. Okay. I fall asleep today trying to watch this so bad. It's
Superman 1. Oh, watch me lift this rocket ship.
The Earth's crust. He's holding up the Earth's crust.
It's true. He's like holding two giant tectonic plates apart, really, you know?
This movie. I did love that he was like, look, I'm on the side of life. Like, people were going to die, and I could do something about it.
I did not like him arguing
that they were 16. Like, I remember arguing like that when I was 16. Like, this is a 30-year-old Superman, and he's acting like he's 4. Again, Christopher Reeve spent 10 years or whatever, 10 to 12 years in the Fortress of Solitude, learning and studying after he graduated high school. Like, he is already ready to go when he's out being Superman, not fumbling around trying to figure it out. He already knows what to say and how to say it. Like,
yeah, that's Superman. Man of Steel Superman came out. He didn't know what he was doing. He just learned how to fly.
Your Superman just goes and watches, like, little videos of his mom and dad and cries every day, learns nothing from all that AI technology. Okay. My Superman...
Give me a Superman who's emotional and understands... Who's emotionally intelligent, who understands how he's feeling, or tries to understand how he's feeling, at least, and connects with people in that way. Like, also, he has... One thing about Superman is that he affects people. Like, he gets people to act. The way he got Justice Gang to act. The way he got Metamorpho to act. Like, he inspires people to be better. That's what Superman is. More than the punches, more than any of that, it's inspiring people.
And you know what's inspiring? You got 3 metahumans in the middle of New York, and you got New Yorkers coming down to fight him. My Superman inspires too, okay? I feel attacked. I feel attacked. Anyway. I'm just kidding.
I know, we were both.
What
else was the movie that... I love Crypto. I thought he was great. I understand that people are like, oh, there's a lot of Crypto. To me, it wasn't that much Crypto. Oh, one thing. Mr. Terrific. Absolutely love Mr. Terrific. After watching that movie, I was really like, man. Like, I've always liked Mr. Terrific, but I always forget that... It's funny, Mr. Terrific is known as the world's third smartest man, but he just like says that. He just lets people believe that when really he's probably the world's smartest man. It's funny, there was an episode of the Justice League cartoon where this villain was gathered all the smartest people in the world because he wanted to like take over their bodies and whatever. And like Batman is there, Luthor is there, Mr. Rip is there, other people are there. And Terrific loses like one round of the competition. And then but he lost it on purpose so he can figure out, like, who's doing what. He can figure out how to defeat the villain. And at the end of it, he ends up being the one who did all the outsmarting. And the villain is like, oh, I'm surprised you're only the world's third smartest man. How did you beat me? He was like, I think those lists are often, like, arbitrary. But also, who do you think made the list? Like, he's smart enough to put himself on as third. Just to, like, get a little bit of heat off of him. And there's this other great scene in Injustice where Superman takes over the world because Lois Lane was killed and she was pregnant. And Mr. Terrific, Superman imprisons all the good guys who's against him. And he imprisons Mr. Terrific. And Batman has Plastic Man break Mr. Terrific out of prison. And then Mr. Terrific is like, all right, what's Batman's plan? And then Plastic Man Plastic Man then says to him, Batman said you would have a plan, and whatever your plan was, to do that plan. Because Batman believes in Mr. Terrific so much that he's like, hey. That's why one of those things, Batman is always like the world's smartest person, and people are like, Batman's so smart that he let other people do the work.
Kind of a sign of a good leader too, is like, hey, I trust him, like, he'll know what to do, let him do it. Yeah. Well, let him cook. He was okay. I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. But again, other than Mr. Metamorpho, Elemental, whatever, like, he's the only one who got character development. I don't know. Hopefully things get better. I'm glad people like it, because we're going to get more of it. And there's no more derailing. Stop rebooting. I'll go down with this shit, please. No more.
I think it's, so the next movie. So reason why I feel like I'm talking a lot. I don't like hearing myself talk too much. One of the reasons why I liked that last scene of Superman being like, of reaching out, of kind of a little bit of olive branch to Lex Luthor being like, you know, if, you know, for the sake of the world, I hope you can see that humanity is your greatest strength also. The next movie was already announced. It's going to be called Man of Tomorrow. It comes out in 2 years. James Gunn already wrote it. They're going to start filming it in April of next year. And it's going to be like Superman and Lex Luthor teaming up. And lots of people think it's going to be against Brainiac.
Ooh, that'd be good. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that then. Because, yeah, I can't wait to see Brainiac on the big screen. Yeah, I don't care. I just give it to me. Again, I'm going down with this shit. But even if I don't like it, I don't care. No more reboots.